Yeah, and this is an awesome revelation. We called it earthquakes, terrorism, and mercy. And Vanessa Weeks sent this to us. She had this back on 8, 19, and 15. She said, in a quick dream, I saw a map of North America. And I saw a rifle scope in the center of the United States. I saw the crosshairs on the Midwest, Nebraska, Iowa, Kansas, and Missouri. And, of course, this is the New Madrid area and related faults. And we have known in dreams we've already gotten that it's being targeted for earthquakes by the powers that be and the Lord himself. As in another page I'm going to discuss, too, she said the map was black and white, but Florida was red. Well, Florida is taken out by these quakes according to the map on the page where Sandy's dreams are, and Charlie and Linda and quite a few others. Revelations are about the earthquakes coming. And that map there shows Florida being taken out. And, of course, we've heard different revelations about Florida, tidal wave hitting it, sinking, so on and so forth. We've heard these from many people and have known it for a long, long time. And on this page where Sandy's dreams are about the quakes, they were delayed until after winter, according to what God gave Charlie and Linda separately in one night, and like it was with Jonah delays and two other revelations there, which I'm going to share with you right now, just short revelations, because I can't really share the whole page there. But one of them was called Possible Superquake Timing by James Rule in 2011. He said, on August 19, 2011, at around 9:15 p.m., I woke to the words of yet 40 days. That's in Jonah 3 and 4. And my note there at that time was, when Jonah pronounced this judgment on Nineveh, there was a delay before it came to pass. And I saw a vision of America as Nineveh. And then we received another one. All these were around that time when we got that and that revelation, and they all thought it had to do with this revelation. So, and then the other one was yet 40 days, a confirmation given to Petra van der Merwe, and that was also in the eighth month of 2011 that he sent this in, just as that other one was. He said, when David mentioned the words yet 40 days on the broadcast of the August 24th as words spoken to Brother James Rule, I was reminded of receiving the exact same words yet 40 days on Sunday, the 21st of August. Well, the other one he received on August the 19th. So that's pretty close. And it struck me immediately because the word was very clear when I received it. And this could be the second witness of a delay. Well, of course, we agreed with that. We didn't know how long when the delay would come or how long it would last, but we agreed with that. And, you know, when Sandy was down there in California, I kept hearing for several days, Job 36 and 20, desire not the night when peoples are cut off in their place. Think about that. The Lord doesn't. There are people, obviously, they're eager and willing and waiting for this thing to happen because they want to see other things come to pass, but the Lord doesn't like that. You know, this is... we're talking about the death of a lot of people here. He said, desire not the night when people are cut off in their place. Another one that kept coming to me, James 2 and 13, for judgment is without mercy to him that hath showed no mercy. Mercy glorieth against judgment. Mercy glorieth against judgment. So this is what God wants in the heart of his people. And so many times God's people have prayed and either delayed or deleted judgments. And that's because words that we receive are not always prophecies that are meant to come to pass. Sometimes they're just warnings so that we pray against them. He would like our heart to be to save, to deliver, to revive. He would like our heart to be that way. We can't stop judgments that come, and they come well-deserving, and so on and so forth. But we intercede like our Lord Jesus. We like to intercede to our Father for people. We like to see people saved, right? And I felt the warnings of judgment were a test of whose heart was right with God. And Jonah obviously failed this test because he was angry that Nineveh wasn't destroyed. You know, God rebuked him for that too. So I began to pray, and I asked others to pray for mercy. And I was asking the Lord, even on the broadcast, some of you I'm sure heard me, for revival to do the job that judgment would do, but without bloodshed, right? And that is bring people to the Lord. You know, revival brings people to the Lord. And judgment brings people to the Lord, but we'd much rather see more people get saved in a revival and less people cut off. We'd love to see that. God likes that heart to be in us. And I asked for mercy for people from the quakes. So in answer, he gave us many texts about this in our morning prayer meeting. And we always pray and ask God to give us words from the Bible through faith at random. In other words, opening the Bible and putting our finger down without looking. And God, who is sovereign over all things, even your pages turning in your finger, he's just astounding. He gives us direction and answers. This is an easy way for each person to bring something from the Lord to the meeting so we could pray about it. And it's been very good, very successful, and we're very happy about what the Lord is showing us. Well, that morning, we received Jonah texts three times through three different people, and which represents, of course, mercy and revival. And the verses we got that morning were actually telling the whole story, Jonah 3 and 4. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days. How about that? The same thing. And Nineveh shall be overthrown. Well, notice it was a prophecy. He was prophesying it, but it didn't come to pass, did it? And there was a reason. But anyway, I saw in 1998 Nineveh, in a vision, when I was standing over the Gulf of Mexico looking at America, and I saw that America represented the head of the beast empire, Nineveh, right? And, of course, God had mercy for the next verse was Jonah 4 and 2. That's the next person got this next verse. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I hastened to flee unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Well, he knew that God was merciful. And he didn't want God to have mercy. And God didn't really like that about Jonah. We know Jonah was being patriotic because this was the enemy of his people. But we are have to be patriotic towards God and His kingdom, not the world, right? But anyway, and the next verse was a rebuke to Jonah for not wanting mercy. Jonah 4 and 8. And it came to pass, when the sun arose, that God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, so that he fainted, and requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It's better for me to die than to live." And God said to Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" He said, "I do well to be angry, even unto death." And the Lord said, "Thou hast had regard for the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And shouldest not I have regard for Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" He's trying to shame the boy. Trying to shame him. Well, these three texts, they tell the whole story of the warning and the delay and the mercy given. Isn't that awesome? God is so accurate in what He does. And we've received them, like I said, three different people, three different texts on the same morning. And that wasn't all. But before I go on, I'm going to share this. You know, this snowstorm that just came through here, Jonas, which is what how some translations use, you know, use the word Jonah. The snowstorm Jonas came through Tennessee, but we rebuked it, and we only got an inch when all around us were covered with deep snow and ice, meaning we escaped the judgment of Jonah by God's mercy. So He gave us another sign. It was literally all the way around us, people were buried in snow. You know, we got very little. And just a dusting. And anyway, the same morning as we received these other verses, we got a promise of grace and revival. Remember, that's what I was asking for. Grace and revival. Mercy and revival. We got Ezra 9 and 8. And now, for a little moment, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in His holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving. Remember, that was revivals, what I'd asked for. Reviving. In our bondage. For we are bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended loving kindness, there is His mercy, unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving. There it is again. A reviving. They asked for it, and we got those words. To set up the house of our God, and to repair the ruins thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. All right, praise God. Well, in the Spirit, that's exactly what we're doing. We're building the wall, which is sanctification, getting the body ready to escape these things. He said to leave us a remnant to escape. It was dead on. And then we got Psalm 51 and 1, which again asks for mercy. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness. It's also mentioned in the verse I just mentioned. According to the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Isn't God awesome? He is awesome. Well, the next day, since Sandy was in California, you remember that she had dreams about being in California when the first earthquake happened in New York. And she was going to come back with her mother, which was also like her dream. Her mother was returning with her, and that's never happened before. So we got to thinking, uh-oh, this you know, actually, let me tell you a little story here. This is awesome. Her mom didn't want to come. And Sandy had a dream that she was in the airport getting ready to come back. And her dad, who'd been dead for a month or two, I think, came walking up to her and told her, "I thought I told you that your mother was to come with you back home." And Sandy said, "Well, I tried, but she didn't want to come." He said, "I thought I told you that your mother was supposed to come with you back home." And Sandy began to make more excuses, you know. And he said, "If she doesn't come with you, she's going to be with me." So, of course, Sandy told her mother. And he also said, she's rebelling. So Sandy told her mother what her dad said in the dream. And her mother cried and said, "Yes, it's true, I am." And she repented and she decided to go. So obviously, to make a long story short, this was most fulfilling the dream that she had back in 2011. Her mother was coming back with her. And this was the last chance, because if she didn't come, she wouldn't be there. So this was it. This was the one. So I knew this, but before Sandy and her mom started coming back, I started praying and asking the Lord some things. I asked the Lord what he would do about the quakes, which were in the same dreams. And now it was a time of winter. And so I flipped my Bible up and stuck my finger down on, "Hearkened unto thy voice." The Lord said, "I've heard your prayer." My finger was on, "Hearkened unto thy voice," 1 Samuel 28:21. The text didn't mean much, but I put my finger right in the middle of that phrase. So my prayer was for mercy and grace and revival to bring more people in before the judgment came, right? Of course, Jonah was a delay, you know, and so we're still thinking about a delay here, you know. So I knew that he heard my prayer and Charlie and Linda's prayer about a delay beyond winter on the same page with Sandy's dreams, right? Because they both got a word about that, you know. In fact, let me see. I'll share that with you before I go on. We called it, "Pray your flight be not in winter." Well, now, you see, it was winter. And she happened to be there in winter and was coming back in winter. And God gave Charlie and Linda a revelation about not coming in winter. So, therefore, it had to be delayed, just like they said. They got this back in 2013, December. And Charlie said, "I had just finished my morning Bible study and my mind was on how cold the weather was. I knew winter and a tribulation of earthquakes was coming soon. And I knew how cold it would be on some of God's people from this judgment, if this was to start now. And I was thinking that if the quakes came, the refugees would be in the bitter cold. So I asked the Lord if we could pray, that this could be put off to when the weather would be warmer. So I asked for a word for this, that we could pray this way. I sat at my desk about a minute more, and as I closed my Bible, the Lord said to me, 'Pray ye that your flight be not in the winter.'" Matthew 24:20. And of course, winter doesn't come until later in December. So I knew we could pray this and God would change it. And when Linda was fixing breakfast, I told her I was concerned about these things coming in the cold and asked for a confirmation if we could pray against it. And she said, "So did I. And he gave me a confirmation also." The subject got dropped at that point, but later in the afternoon, I asked her what her confirmation was. She repeated word for word, Pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. So I told her that was the same exact word I got. And she said that she had been asking the Lord for about 2 weeks concerning the earthquakes and later tribulation due to the cold weather, and her answer came that day. So they both prayed the same thing, had the same concern, and got the same answer. And they told us back in that year, that's 2013, in December, and we started to pray that way too. And Sandy has been told of the Lord that she's going back to California. That's at that time we had that written in there, which is a coming sign of the quakes. So I just wanted to share that with you before I went on. So after that, that same morning when the Lord gave me that word, hearkened unto thy voice, I also got in answer to my question, what you going to do about the earthquakes since Sandy's coming back and her mama's coming and it looks like everything could be fulfilled here. What are you going to do? And God gave me Esther 3:9. If it please the king, and I received all of these by random and by faith. If it please the king, let it be written that they be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those that have the charge of the king's business to bring it into the king's treasuries. Well, you know that this is about the threat of death to God's people. But deliverance then came through the bride and the man-child's petition to the king. Just like what we did. How awesome. that just came to me immediately when I read that, you know. It was just, God is just so awesome, you know. Again, about the same question, I got the same day, mercy from the Lord. And again, I asked the same question. I asked three times this question. This was the second time. I got Psalm 78:38. But he, being merciful, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. Many a time. For a plea for mercy, God heard. Amen. Sometimes it's because of repentance God hears. And but God knows he's the one that grants repentance, so he can do it for anybody. And then later, excuse me, I said the second. That was the third word I got. Okay. And later I got Amos 9:11. That's right, 9:11, which surely speaks of a false flag, which the quakes are, according to that page where Sandy has her dream. She had a revelation of that. It's also involving the timing of Planet X, because that's on that page too. But anyway, so I got Amos 9:11, and it's promising to raise up the tabernacle of David, who then, of course, conquered Edom in verse 12. Amos 9:11 says, in that day. What day? 9:11. No, not September the 11th. In that day, when they have a false flag. In the time of the next 9:11. Okay. Will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen? Well, we already got this several times, that the man-child David ministry would start in the midst of this earthquake stuff, which we were told in a dream by Sandy was also going to be a false flag. Wow. Man, God, he just ties it all up, doesn't he? And I will close up the breaches thereof. I'll raise up the tabernacle of David that has fallen. And, of course, we're expecting that, too. We've been expecting that. We've received that many times, that God's going to once again raise up the David ministry and the tabernacle of the wilderness, right? Close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up its ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. And actually, I believe it starts right there on the false flag. Isn't that something? That they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations that are called by my name, says the Lord that doeth this. That they may possess all the nations that are called by my name. You know, in every nation, there is a nation of God's people that are called by his name, of every nationality. And of course, Edom is those that fought against Israel. They were their brethren, but they hated and fought against them, and God never forgave them for that. So, and David conquered Edom too. So anyway, that is a further revelation, 9:1:1. And I just want to say that this mercy and grace is for this time. Now, in other words, it's just a delay. It's not a delete. Okay, it's for this time. But I think that we will have it, that is mercy and grace, even when the quakes do come. If the saints cry out so that the damage is not as bad as is threatened in the dreams and visions and prophecies and words from the Lord. God does that quite regularly. You know, he warns, he threatens, he tells you what's going to happen. People cry out because he says he'll answer your prayers. In fact, he says he'll answer all of your prayers that you believe. Right? Mark 11:24. So, he does. So, when you cry out to God for mercy, he has mercy. He didn't say he would delete the judgments, but that he will have mercy in the midst of them. And I'm sure of it. And Vanessa went on to say, when I asked the Lord to speak to me about this dream, I got Jeremiah 51 by faith. Well, you know Jeremiah 51 speaks of the destruction of Babylon by the Medes and the Persians, and which is a type of America, for swallowing up God's people. Now, God's people had some dominion, some authority here, and some land here, and they're stealing it, aren't they, spiritually speaking? And God's going to bring judgment. Jeremiah 51 is all about that, judging America. And it says, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon and against them that dwell in Leb-Kamea a destroying wind. Well, the first thing that came to me when I read this is that the Hebrew for wind and spirit are the same word. And that the spirit of Islam will destroy America, probably during martial law, when communications have been brought down because of the excuse of the earthquakes. You understand the way I'm saying this? That yes, some communications will be brought down by the earthquakes, but more of it will be brought down, I think, by the government, because that's what they want. They do not like you looking over their shoulder at what they do. Not these days, they don't. So, this is a perfect cover for terrorism to kill many people in secret. That is, lack of communication, martial law, when people can't be packing guns around, right? Oh. So, and Charlie and Linda both had almost the same dreams in the same night of this covert Islamic war against Americans after the quakes. Or in the midst of the quakes. I don't know which. Something like that. It looked like quakes had come in their revelations, both of them. And they were almost the same dreams, and they had them the same night. Very good confirmation of these things. So folks, I mean, Islam's going to make war. They're getting ready. They're making their bombs, and they're going to try to burn a lot of America too. So just get ready, because it's coming. And the rest of that says, and I will send unto Babylon strangers that shall winnow her. Winnow is a way to get rid of the chaff, the flesh, right? Going to be a humbling, isn't it? Well, these strangers are invading now under the guise of refugees. In fact, ISIS has already told people that this is a Trojan horse and that they're using it. You can't do any better than that, you know. But these refugees are mostly Sunni young men of military age without families, just like ISIS is. And the Shiites who were threatened by ISIS are not the ones coming in as refugees. Isn't this crazy? I mean, how stupid do they think we are? I guess we're pretty bad because nobody's really raising much of a ruckus. Maybe they've all been dumbed down by chemtrails. I don't know. But it's crazy. It's just crazy. And 9-1-1 was all Sunnis too. All from Saudi Arabia. And of course, Mr. Obama and Saudi Arabians are the ones that raised up ISIS to do this. So, and they, that is these strangers, this destroying wind or spirit, shall empty her land. For in the day of trouble, I'm guessing that's probably talking about the quakes, they shall be against her around about. And that's what they are here for, to take America for President Obama and Islam. And according to Middle East News, they've been speaking much about this, that Saudis have given Obama an order to make America an Islamic country. So, against him that bendeth, let the archer bend his bow. And against him that lifteth himself up in his coat of mail, destroy ye utterly all her host. Well, this is strange, because what he's saying was, those that like to make war on others, he's going to make war on. I mean, the country should have risen up against, not physically, but in protest against this constant war throughout the world, raising up people against their neighbors, killing off their leadership. What kind of foolishness is this? What would you expect would come from God on a people that would do such a thing? So this is saying very plainly, God makes war on those who make war on the world, fulfilling the law of reaping and sowing, right? Or sowing and reaping. I tell you, the Lord is, people don't know the value of having righteous leadership. And people can't have righteous, godly, moral leadership unless they themselves are righteous, godly, and moral. It just doesn't happen. God gives a leadership according to what people deserve. And who has heard more of the gospel and obeyed less of it than America? Which makes them more guilty, you see. God certainly makes that point in the Gospels. And Vanessa said, after I read this chapter, the Father reminded me of Psalm 46, 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. What did he say in the verse before that she received? In the day of trouble. And so he is a very present help. He's our refuge. He's our strength. It goes on to say, therefore, we will not fear, though the earth do change. Yes, many earth changes coming through Planet X, asteroids, earthquakes, tsunamis, destructive weather, etc. And though the mountains be shaken into the heart of the seas, earthquakes, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains tremble with the swelling thereof. And of course, this is the earthquakes and tsunamis that we've been expecting, right? She said, I had this dream, I think, in September of 2015. I saw a map of the southeastern United States. and a weatherman drawing circles around the earthquake faults with a yellow pen. Well, yellow is a sign of danger. So I'm guessing that the Lord is warning that these earthquake faults are going to be producing earthquakes soon. That was September 2015. And she said, I know that they were the New Madrid and one in East Tennessee, which is two places that we know are going to quake and shake. So these Midwest and East Tennessee faults travel south and obviously will wreak havoc in the southeast, which is also the Bible Belt and the major target. Remember the crosshairs? Okay, the major target. They particularly, the people that are taking over leadership, the Muslims, the homosexuals, and the communists, have a hatred for Christians. And they do not want to see them having any say-so in this land. And God himself is bringing judgment against the Christians because of apostasy, because they've turned away from the Word and fallen into idolatry with false leaders who do not teach the Word, or have ripped pages out of His Word so that they can have their little religious party, and their idolatrous institutions too. And so God has had enough of it. It's time something has to be done. We're coming to the end, and He wants to bring a lot of people to repentance, and He's going to show forth His righteousness in judging apostate Christianity. There was a third one that I can't remember. So she mentioned those two earthquake faults and a third one that you can't remember. But he was saying they are warning about these places. Yes. Then there was an earthquake in one of these fault lines. I do not know which one. And 7 days later, a devastating tsunami hits the Carolinas. And it was totally unexpected. And the weather news people on TV were very much caught off guard. And they said, how could we not see this coming? Well, I don't know. The East Coast earthquake, the one that goes from New York down the East Coast, may be a part of this, I don't know, bringing about a tsunami. Or the island volcano that everybody's expecting to fall off and cause. I don't know if that's it, too. I have no idea. Or whether it's that asteroid that's supposed to come in. I don't know what's going to cause this, but it could be. But the news people said, how could we not see this coming? Something they should have expected. And probably, just my thoughts, you know, probably because they were engineered to go off when Planet X comes through to help them with all the stresses and strains. Because we have revelations that these two are going to work together, the powers that be and Planet X, to bring about these terrible earthquakes. And I believe also Sandy had a dream of 7 major earthquakes going off around the world at the same time. If I'm not mistaken, that was Sandy's revelation. And this is also the same, on the same page where Jay Nara, Sandy's dream is on the same page where Jay Nara in 2011 got the revelation through his 2.5-year-old son that Planet X will cause the New York quake, which Sandy and Rick saw as the first quake. Both Sandy and Rick had the same sequence of events going across the country, earthquakes from the east to the west. And And by the way, Gil Broussard, as most of you know, an astronomer, believes that this will come this Passover. We can't prove that, but he believes that his model has shown that, and that the woman and man child sign in Revelation chapter 12 is in the heavens on Passover. Of course, that would be very interesting if that would happen, because it appears that the destroyer passed over on the Passover in Exodus 12. Now, if this is true, we would also be receiving a short delay from now. You understand what I'm saying? Other things are pointing to a short delay. So, she said, then I woke up. And when I thought about the dream, I realized the circles around the false looked like shepherd's staffs and were gold in color. I believe God is showing me that there will be shepherds around these places to help his people in the cloudy and dark day, like in Ezekiel 34, 11, and 12. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I myself, even I, will search for my sheep, and will seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered abroad. So will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of all the places whither they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Well, now this reminded me of something, of some dreams that people have had of the New Madrid earthquake. How that there were ashes falling from the darkened skies when the earthquakes are triggered, and probably set off, in turn, volcanic eruptions. So, the dark and cloudy day, his people scattered in a dark and cloudy day. And that could be a sign also of the earthquakes. As you know, when ground shakes, it's very possible that volcanic eruptions are also set off. So this gives me comfort, and I remember Psalm 23 and 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen. God is going to be with us. And those who abide in the secret place of the Most High, Psalm 91, by faith and repentance have nothing to worry about. Right? Well, you know, on that page where Sandy's dream, quite a few other dreams are, and Charlie and Linda's revelation, pray your flight be not in the winter, is there. In fact, it's the last one there. And the one that we received just before that was Pam's prophetic word, where she spoke about 2 years. Of course, we were expecting at any time, and Pam gave a prophetic word that it would be more than 2 years before this would happen. And she also said in that revelation, the same goes for the end-time priesthood, that the end-time priesthood had to get ready and prepared for that time. So she said you have 2 years before you have to be ready, and that the God would bring the California quake at that time. As we know, from what we do know, from what we think we know, New York, and then it would go to the New Madrid, and then it would go from there to the eastern Tennessee Valley and to California at the same time. And so, 2 years, and of course, you know, that set things back. And the Lord said to her, it would be like Joe Brandt's revelation. You know, Joe Brandt's revelation of the West Coast, sliding into the sea, or a portion of it, rather, sliding into the sea. But anyway, that happened, and then we got this revelation from Charlie and Linda, and it said that it wouldn't be in winter. Well, Sandy did go in winter, and parts of the dream were fulfilled, but the part that we had asked for mercy about wasn't fulfilled because it was winter, and God had already told us it wasn't going to happen in the winter. So that could have put Pamela's revelation off for a short bit, too. God can change things. Some people who are ignorant of the way God uses prophecies, dreams, and visions are quick to jump and say that they're wrong. Well, Jonah was wrong then, right? Yeah. And we have other examples of the same thing in the scripture. So no, they don't. They're just critical people. That's all. They don't understand how God wants to use prophecies, dreams, visions, especially to change people's minds. If you tell your child, if you do this, I'm going to whip you, then they're less likely to do it. And if they don't do it, then you don't have to whip them. It's that simple. So anyway, I'm not saying the whipping has been totally deleted. It's not. It's still coming, but it's God's having mercy at this time, just like he told, you know, Charlie and Linda that he was going to have mercy in the winter, and it wouldn't come in the winter. So anyway, it's just all starting to fit together, and the neat thing about how God is able to speak to you in so many different ways, and dreams and visions and prophecies and in words from God that you get. He's told us. So we see that everything is right on track. And I guess the next thing we're really looking for is these earthquakes to come in the near future. And I say everybody needs to get ready. Exactly what the Lord told Pam, you know, get ready. Be praying. Clean your life up. Make sure that the Lord has nothing against you. Make sure that you're ready to be of use to the people around you. Big shakings are coming to America. But God, in the midst of it, is going to be merciful. We're pretty sure of that. He's going to be merciful. And we also pray, obviously, for the elect of God, the ones that are ultimately going to be the chosen because they bear fruit. Many are called to this high calling of God in Christ, but few are chosen. And many of the called are taken away before they come to fruition because they're not really using their time. But the elect are going to be saved, and they're going to bear fruit. And they're going to shake this earth, you know. Praise be to God. So let's pray. Well, Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus, we thank you for hearing our prayers of mercy and grace. We thank you that, these judgments are not going to come in a nasty time of winter. And we thank you. It's just amazing, Lord, that you would even hear our prayers concerning something that is so important. But we know you have. We praise you for it. We thank you for it. And, Lord, we'd like you to make up for this mercy that you have concerning the earthquakes and other things that happen around him with revival. Lord, we'd like to see a monster revival. Multitudes come into the kingdom. And all the people that we've prayed for, Father, we'd like to see them come into the kingdom. We'd like to see a mighty, mighty move of your Spirit. Many signs and wonders and miracles that will be spread throughout the earth, that won't be able to shut them up, that will put to shame apostate Christianity, Lord, because it isn't Christianity. And it's the reason that these judgments are coming. It's not because of President Obama. It's not because of the Muslims. It's not because of ISIS. It's because of the Christians, as you say in your word. Because they're not Christians. And Lord, we know that the people that escape don't need this chastening because they are Christians. And we ask, Lord, that you put this conviction and this fear of the Lord in the hearts of all of your people to be prepared for these things that are coming. That's what we ask, Lord. I know that's a big order. And I know that a lot of people ignore your words to them, your drawing to them, etc., etc. And they do it to their own destruction. So, Father, we just ask your great mercy upon this nation. We ask that you use everything, all of these things, bring the fear of the Lord and repentance to your people and great revival, Lord. And build again the tabernacle of David as you've promised, Lord. We ask it all in the name of Jesus, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for being so merciful, for showing us these things too, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Please continue, Father, to show us what's coming and to make sure that we're all ready. Please work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure, Father. Please send your Son to shepherd his flock, as in Ezekiel 34. Send your Son. Send your man-child. Send your bride, whose prayers you heard in the book of Esther, to have mercy upon your people. And so we praise you for once again, Lord. I know you put that there for us to understand that you hear the prayers of your man, child, and bride, and that you're going to have mercy upon your people, those that are truly yours, that are Israelites indeed and not just in name. Christians indeed and not just in name, that you're going to have mercy. So we thank you, Father, for doing that in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask that your anointing, your blessing be upon Michael Hare as he shares with our brethren, that faith will enter into their hearts, Lord, and they will be prepared for these things, because obviously we're justified through faith first of all and most of all. And we thank you, Lord, that we believe that Jesus took away our sins and he gave us of his life. He made reconciliation, and we thank you for that faith that justifies even before a person has fully turned to the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name.